Very lengthy passage of Scripture to read tonight from the Word of God. I want to make sure I get it in the context that I'm preaching from and try to bring the thought that God has laid upon my heart for this evening. It's not that long of a passage, but I'll try to read it as quickly as I can. If you'll listen quickly, I'll read quickly, preach quickly, and I don't think you'll leave quickly. Most of you tarry around on Sunday night, and I appreciate that. That's good, the fellowship around the house of God. I'm going to ask you to turn again your Bible to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1 again tonight, please, if you would. We were there this morning, and I want to preach from there again tonight, Lord being my helper. Try to do the best that I can. Pray for me. I've got a frog in my throat. I hope it's not a very big one. And that sometimes them frogs get hung up in there. They're not a big frog. You can generally bark them out about halfway through the first point. You can get it out. And then you do all right, and then on down the line. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we're going to back up from this morning and begin our reading in verse number 9. It's kind of an odd place to pick up, but I think that's where we'll pick up from. The Word of God said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I'm not preaching from that tonight, but that verse of Scripture could throw a cog in the spokes of those that believe that believers only became indwelt with the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost and following. The Bible said those Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. And that's not a little S on Spirit, that's a capital S. That is the Holy Spirit that Peter is referring to there. So the Holy Spirit was in them. No doubt about that whatsoever. And he said, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves. Now, can you imagine that? This grace that is coming unto them wasn't revealed to them. I bet some of them sat down and cried about it. It said, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, woo, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. That is, their fathers led them astray. If you can get a hold of that, they received it from the tradition of their father. And their fathers told them wrongly. They followed tradition. In fact, the Lord in Matthew 15, I believe, talks about tradition. And how we're not to follow tradition. Amen. We're to follow the Word of God. Amen. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope Amen. Might be in God. Now we've read correctly through the Scripture, I do believe. Let's pause to pray, and we'll try to bring the simple little thought and that the Lord's laid on my heart for tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful tonight for, once again, the good songs that we've enjoyed by the choir. What a blessing it's been throughout the day to hear them sing again. Thank you, Lord, for your people that are here. I thank you, Lord, for sending Brother Gray and Miss Shawn and the family our way tonight. Thank you for having them in the house of God here with us. We thank you for your people that are here. And I pray that you'd meet with us tonight in a wonderful way. And Lord, the grace that you gave this morning and the blessing of the morning hour will not suffice for this evening. That manna has been consumed. And we come tonight, Lord, looking to Thee one more time to open up the windows of heaven and pour Your blessings out upon us. May God Almighty rend the heavens and come down. And Lord, visit with Your people and come with great power and great grace and great glory, transforming sinners into the children of God and reviving and blessing and helping those, Lord, that are facing difficult times and troubles and trials tonight. I pray you'd grace our hearts with your presence. Bless the preacher as I stand tonight. I pray that you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. Anoint me, I pray, and grant me the liberty, Lord, that I need tonight to glorify the precious name of the Son of God. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to preach tonight. I don't have any single verse that I'm going to be drawing from. Really four verses primarily I want to be really preaching from out of the Scripture tonight. But I want to preach tonight on the thought of a string of pearls. A string of pearls. There's three glorious words that weave their way through this passage like a beautiful string of pearls. They speak of the Christian in the past, in the present, and in our future relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say that we've all had that relationship. In our past relationship, we were lost and undone, without God and without hope. In our present relationship, thank God we have a hope that is steadfast and sure tonight. And we're able to live each and every day in the sunlight of the great love of God. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I'm enjoying this journey that I'm on with Christ. I find no fault in Him tonight. He has been a wonderful Savior to me all the way down through these years that I've lived and served Him. Now I'm telling you, my present life, this life that I now live in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I'll tell you, if you're saved tonight, you live the same way. You live, amen, you live in that life that he had and gave for you because He loved you with a love that could not separate, that could not be separated by the devil, nor sin, nor the world, nor any other enemy of Almighty God. Now, these pearls, they speak of the Christian, I said, in his past, present, future life. They're ornaments of glory that beautify the life of God's children. Solomon said about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, he said, wisdom, she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor. And when thou dost embrace her, and this string of pearls that I want to speak on tonight will grace your heart and your life in like manner as what wisdom will do. These pearls will be to a man like a wellspring of life, springing up unto everlasting kingdom. The first pearl that I want to mention tonight is used twice. It's used once in verse number 9, and it's used again in verse number 13. Now, I know a lot of people criticize me. I've been criticized for using this word a lot. But folks will just have to be critics, I suppose. But the first pearl that I find in this string tonight that I want to preach on is that little five-lettered word called grace. Thank God for the good grace of Almighty God. It's mentioned in verse number 10 where the Bible said, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. And it's mentioned again in verse number 13 where it says, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That first grace I call the pre-cross grace. That is, it was grace before the Lord ever came to the cross. For He said there that those prophets of old prophesied of the grace of God that was to come unto you. That is, they prophesied about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher get up and preach one time, and if I called his name, everybody in here would know his name. But he said the word grace is not used at all in the Old Testament. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it may not be spoken of there, but maybe one time. But I'm going to tell you what, it's woven all through the Old Testament. The prophets of old prophesied of the grace of God that was to come unto you and I. If you want to hear, read a chapter about grace, read Isaiah 53. There's not a greater chapter in all the Bible that teaches us about the grace of God. Amen. And that grace that was to come unto you and I, ladies and gentlemen, prophesied there was pre-cross grace. But I'm glad, thanks be unto the Lord, there came a day when that prophecy became a reality. And the Lord Jesus came into this world to suffer upon the cross of Calvary for the souls of mankind. I want to bless His wonderful name tonight. Nobody made Him come to this earth. Nobody twisted His arm. Nobody forced Him to die. But He said, I have the power to lay my life down. And praise God, I've got the power to take it up again. Now I want to bless His wonderful name that there came an hour when the prophecies of old became a reality and the darling Lamb of God died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. And in doing so, He brought grace to you and I. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. That pre-cross grace, it was on the way, but we had never experienced it. But I'm glad, thank be unto God, September the 13th. Do you get tired of me telling about that? September the 13th, 1970, that grace that the prophets prophesied about, I experienced on that Sunday morning in a little white Baptist church in Scottsburg, Indiana. Thanks be unto God that grace became a reality in my soul, that God still loves and God still saves all sinners. Amen. That's right. Aren't you glad God still saves old sinners? Some of you look like you. That's God, you, the mother-in-law moved in to stay or something. Hallelujah. I'm glad God saves old sinners. Amen. Now that other grace I call a pre-consummation grace. He said, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is to say, that grace is on the way. But we've never experienced it yet. The first is experienced at the cross, but the second will be experienced at the coming of our Lord. I'm telling you, oh, what grace. I'm not minimizing the cross, but I'm telling you the grace that is going to be brought to you and I at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the hype of it's never yet been told. Do you realize that the dead will get up out of their graves? Amen. Those that have gone on before. Somebody said, oh, that sounds like a fairy tale. It may sound like one to you, but amen. I'm telling you, it's reality to me. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you're dreaming. Don't wake me up, ladies and gentlemen. I believe there's coming an hour when all that are in their graves shall hear His voice. Some shall come forth under everlasting condemnation, but others will come forth unto everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, this old body of ours that we've drug around with us all these years is going to be glorified and made into the image of the Son of God. We're going to be like Him. For we're going to see Him as He is. I'm not minimizing the first coming of our Lord. His death upon the cross. Everything in life pivots around that day on Calvary when Christ died. Amen. And by the way, He died in the very center of the world. Amen. Jerusalem is the center of the world. He died right in the center of the world. That tells me that that grace that was prophesied about concerning the cross is available to all men. And all mankind, He died in the center of humanity, that all humanity might come unto Him and be saved by the marvelous grace of Almighty God. Now, I wouldn't want to minimize that. But oh, I'm telling you, when I think about the revelation, when He's coming in clouds of glory, amen, and the dead in Christ is going to get up out of the grave, amen, shake the dust off of their burial shroud. All this alive crowd that's still alive and remaining is going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. I'm telling you, that is going to be a grand and a glorious day, and a whole lot of grace, ladies and gentlemen, will be poured out of the Lord Jesus in that day. Anybody listening to me? I hope so. Come on now. I want to say three or four things about grace. Grace does not overlook sin. But it does justify the sinner. Amen. Grace will always deal with your sin. You know why people don't get saved? They don't want to deal with their sin. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, sin, grace will never overlook sin. That's what a lot of people want. You wouldn't get happy with me, we'll just get robbed. I'm going to tell you something. Grace is not going to overlook your sin. Oh, once in grace, always in grace, I can live any way I want to live. That's a bunch of hogwash. Grace does not give you a license to sin, ladies and gentlemen. And grace will not overlook your sin, but I'll tell you what it will do. It will justify your sin. That day when that woman came to the well in John chapter number 4, found the darling Son of God sitting on that well. Yeah. Amen. And he said, give me a drink. Said, if you'd have known who it is speaking with you, you'd ask of Him and He'd give you living water. Yeah. Oh, and you know the whole story. Yeah. But it came down to that one part where the Lord said, go and get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, in this you have rightly spoken. Amen. Said, but you've had five husbands. Amen. And the woman you're living with now is not your husband. She had been married five times and was shacking up. And I'm telling you, God did not overlook Grace did not overlook her sin. Grace dealt with her sin. But I'm going to tell you what else it done. It justified her sin.
Amen.
Praise God, she forgot them water pots. Amen. Went running back into town. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And said, come see a man. Told me all things ever I did.
Amen.
Praise God, the Holy Ghost just give me something I ain't never seen there before.
Amen.
When she left her water pot, she left what she had been drinking from.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Started drinking from another fountain that day. Amen. I'll tell you, a drunk gets saved, they'll start drinking from another fountain, ladies and gentlemen. Ain't that right, Brother Andy?
Amen.
Amen. I don't mean to embarrass nobody, but I'm glad God saves drunks.
Amen.
Amen. God doesn't overlook a drunkard's life, but I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll justify him. He'll bring him down to the church house and set him in the choir.
Amen.
Let him sing the songs of Zion and glorify God.
Amen.
God will never overlook the sin of a prostitute, but I'm going to tell you what it will do. It'll justify that old prostitute, bring her down to the house of God and set her in the choir and let her sing songs of Zion. I'm going to tell you something else. God won't overlook the sin of a drunk, but I'll tell you what he will do. He'll justify him, bring him down to the church house, and let him get behind the pulpit, praise God, and every now and then, and tell somebody else about how good God has been in their life. Amen. Hallelujah. He don't overlook sin. I'm telling you the reason folks won't get sin, get saved today. They thank God. They're not asking God to forgive them. They're asking God to overlook them. Just overlook me. Let me go on. Love me like I am in my sin. And God don't work that way. Listen to this verse of Scripture, Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to say being justified freely. That tells me that grace is pretty free. Come on now. Help me out. And if it's free, that tells me that grace is available to everybody. Amen and amen. But we're justified freely by the grace of God. I want to say secondly, grace does not oppress the saint, but it does oppose the sin in the saint's life. I've never seen so many people with their lower lips on the ground. I've never seen so many folks come to the house of God these days, and they seem like they're just whooped.
Amen.
They're defeated.
Right.
I'm telling you that grace does not oppress people.
Right.
Praise God, when grace is active in your life, it'll stir you up and put a smile on your face.
Amen.
It'll put a song in your heart.
Right.
It'll put praise in your lips. Amen. Hallelujah to God. It won't oppress you if you just let grace work for you. See, our problem is a whole lot of folks don't know how to yield themselves to grace and let grace work. Grace is something that's under, it's God doing something for us that we don't deserve. And a lot of folks don't know how to turn that thing over to God and let God work in it.
Amen.
Hey, that's right. God, we don't deserve God delivering us from our problems that we face every day. We don't deserve God delivering us from the tribulations and trials of life and the problems of life. But if we'll turn that thing over to God, God can give us grace, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen. That will overcome. And amen, you won't have to be oppressed. I don't know how he does it, but I'm telling you, he gives you grace to live with the problem and rejoice about it all at the same time.
Amen.
Because nothing gets to you unless it first comes through the hands of God.
Amen.
That's what our girls sang, ain't it?
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this verse. Romans 5:20-21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can get a hold of that, where sin abounded, the law entered, and sin abounded. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I believe it was Elliot Smith that said, ever how far you are out in sin when God saves you, grace will bring you twice that distance back. It does much more abound. Come on now, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for grace. Amen. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Amen. By Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. That sin reigns unto death, and it abounded. But grace doth much more abound, and it reigns unto life right through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all making it a little hard on Brother Hall tonight, but we'll work through it. Amen. I wrote three little things down in this notebook this afternoon, just come to my mind. I said, there's grace for the journey. Thank God I've been on this journey a while. It's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Praise God, that's right. Amen. I believe I've fought wild beasts in Ephesus along the way. I've been in perils of robbers and perils in with my own countrymen. I've been perils in the house of God, now the house of God. But I'm telling you, through them all, ladies and gentlemen, God's been with me on this journey. And why would God be with one and not be with another? Amen. Never yet, Doc Siler preaching on the grace of God. And he used Rachel as an example of illustrating the grace of God. How that old servant went down and brought Rachel back to, or Rebecca it was, to Isaac. Back to Isaac. He said she had never been alone that way before. She had never been to Canaan land before in her life. And every day the scenery changed and she saw something new and something different. But that old servant that was leading her back had already been down there and was on the way back. And I'm telling you, he knew every danger, toil, and snare. Hallelujah. And God's brought us through every danger, toil, and snare. He's brought us safely thus far, ladies and gentlemen. God will bring us safely on home. Amen. That's right. No need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow. Amen. And it will because that grace, amen, that grace reigns unto life. It's been good for the journey. There's grace for joy. There's grace for the judgment that's coming. Amen. And it is a coming. I want to say grace does not overthrow us, but it does overwhelm us. Amen. You ever been overwhelmed? I can tell we're looking at some of you ain't overwhelmed. Yeah. You ever been overwhelmed? As grace ever, I want to say this. Now, I hope this lady don't get mad at me, but I might be totally wrong in what I'm thinking. But tonight when we were singing that song, no need to doubt him now. I looked over there at Sister Gossett. Here's the way she was. She went. I really thought she started to squeal a little bit. I really thought that there for a minute grace had overwhelmed her. When she got to she got to thinking about how good God had been. And they're facing a lot of trouble right now, a lot of problems right now in their life. But she got to say, she got her mind off the troubles and problems and got her heart set over on Jesus and said, my heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise. Hallelujah. somebody says.
Amen.
Every now and then grace will overwhelm you.
Amen. Amen.
There's been grace for every mile. There's been grace for every trial. Now I'm telling you, I've been through sickness and sorrow, and so have some of you. Some of you in here tonight are facing greater trials than you've ever faced before in your life. But I'm telling you, that grace of God that's working efficaciously in your heart when overwhelm you. If you ain't right careful in the midst of your problems, you'll say, whoop. Woo!
Hallelujah.
Amen! Oh, Brother Doug can't even use his bathroom. He got to drive all the way from Arlington to Madisonville just to use the toilet. But I saw grace come night overwhelming him this morning and tonight both.
Amen.
After all, he's a medicine man.
Amen.
Praise God, I'm telling you, grace. When you get to thinking, hey, whatever you have, somebody said, I don't have much. You ought to have nothing.
Amen.
We deserve absolutely zero.
Amen.
We ought to be in hell tonight, languishing in the flames and the fires of the pit. But grace, but God, who is rich in mercy with His great love, wherewith He loved us. Even yet, while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Ought to all be in hell, but God. Now, I'm telling you, every now and then I get overwhelmed about that. We don't deserve an automobile to drive. Praise God, we don't even deserve a pony to ride. Or a horse. We don't deserve a tricycle. I'm telling it right. We don't deserve the house we're living in. Somebody said, it ain't much. I wouldn't gripe. You may not ever get anything else. But I learned a long time ago, if the roof don't leak and it keeps you dry. Because I lived in one, son. When it started raining, Mom said, bucket brigade, hitch up. We began to set out buckets. But if you're living in one that's dry, if you're living in one that's warm in the winter and cool in the summer,
amen,
you've got a whole lot more than what you deserve.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God's good to us.
Amen.
Praise God. Got this air running in here tonight, and some of it's cold. We'll kick her off and turn on the heat. God supplied both of them. And guess what? All the bills are paid. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
We got the utility bills paid. Praise His wonderful name. I'm talking about grace that we don't deserve. Some of y'all think, well, I gotta go to church tonight. Praise God. We go to Mexico once or twice a year. Them folks come out down there and some of them sit on concrete blocks.
Amen.
In 120 degree temperatures. To hear preaching. A bunch of sorry devils in America, you can't get them off of the couch. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know which night it's to, if I'm hoping it's tomorrow night. But it may be tonight. But if it's tonight, we're facing a real tough uphill battle in the house of God. Because the gods are in confrontation tonight. Thank God it's tomorrow night. That won't offend none of you, will it? I tell you, that is America's God. I'm glad I got enough grace to get off the stupid basketball court and off the television set and come to church. I hope they all get You get out. And I'm telling you, sports anymore is just like the woes in the Revelation. Behold, one woe passeth and another one cometh quickly. I listened to Fox News on the radio the other day, and they said, baseball season starts on Sunday. That's what the problem is tonight. Got another God to worry about. Amen. Y'all, come on, say amen. Grace will overwhelm us by blessing us in undeserving ways. Grace will overwhelm us by breaking us when we become hardened, lazy, and disobedient to the Word of God. Amen. It's grace. I want to say this. Listen to me carefully. Now, I'm going to make a broad statement here. Some of you are not going to believe. But judgment, grace will get you right a whole lot sooner than what judgment will. And you'll wind up in a whole lot better way, too.
Amen.
Son, I'm telling you, when we know that our heart is hardened and we're lazy on God and we're backslidden on God, it'll be grace that'll move on your heart and break your heart.
Amen.
Amen. And make tears of joy run out of the corners of your eyes and down your cheeks. To know that God loves us even when our hearts are contrary to His will and disobedient to His word. I'm telling you, grace works that way. I don't care what some preachers told you, friend. When we're disobedient, God's grace. And even if God judged us, it'd be grace getting us right. God's merciful. Thank God He's merciful. You know what mercy is? Mercy is delivering you between a rock and a hard spot, friend. Mercy is saying, just about like grace, God doing for you what He does not have to do for you.
Amen.
When you're in a time when you cannot do it for yourself.
Amen.
Thank God for mercy.
Amen.
Somebody said mercy. God's mercy is clean gone. That's what the psalmist said. He said, oh Lord, Thy mercy is clean gone. Then he thought a while and then he changed his mind on that.
Amen.
He said, Thy mercy endureth to all generations. Praise God, God's mercy is still around for tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I'm going to have to hurry. I got 3 points. That's only one pearl, and I got to run. I'm trying to dig a hole. Can't get it done. Grace will overwhelm us by bridling us when the flesh leads us astray. That's right. Grace will put a bridle in your mouth. Oh, why can't I go this way? Maybe God doesn't want you going that way. Why don't I feel right about doing some things? Maybe it's because God's got a bridle in your mouth. Telling you it's not right in doing such things. I got to pick up on this second pearl real quick. Look at verse number 13. I preached on this 2 weeks ago. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I see the grace of God working before and after the cross. I see hope. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I thought, Lord, what can I put down? I mean, I preached on this 2 weeks ago. What can I say about hope? I'm not much of a preacher. But what can I say about hope? I'm telling you, if you lose hope,
amen.
Praise God, it's miserable for a man to lose hope. To lose hope in life, and to lose hope in God, to lose hope, amen, in your family, to lose hope in your church.
Amen.
Hope. Thank God for hope. May I say tonight, there's hope for the filthy. The Bible said in the book of 3 Corinthians 7:1, Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I've got these promises. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that old filth is sinners. I'm afraid our attitude towards sinners in this generation is not right. Come on now. We see somebody that don't exactly dress like us. Don't exactly look like us. Don't live like us. And very quickly we forget where we were when God found us. Somebody said, well, there's no hope for this generation. That's what they said about me. They said, that Truman Hall's boy, there's no hope for that boy. His daddy's a drunk, he's a drunk, once a drunk, always a drunk. When I got in, they said, oh, he just got a little religion. Yeah, it won't last. Praise God, I'm telling you, she's been lasting. She's lasted a lot longer than a lot of folks thought it'd last. And I've got confidence, I've got some hope in God that she's going to last the rest of the journey. Anybody listening now? Hope for the filthy. Amen. Because, because of the promises, you got to go back on that to verse 17. He said, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Somebody said, if you receive the Lord, I don't want to blow your theology on salvation. But I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. It's not so much you receiving the Lord as it is the Lord receiving you.
Amen.
Now that goes both ways. But I'm telling you, there's a promise there. There's a promise for the filthy that God will receive us. Oh, I'm glad. That God receive us sinful men.
Amen.
Even me with all my sin. We sang that old song from time to time. The promise of God receiving us.
Amen.
Receiving the filthy. And then there's the promise that God will regenerate us in verse 18.
Amen.
He said, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen.
Thank God, two promises, one to receive us and one to regenerate us. The filthy, the ungodly, but there's coming a time in the book of the Revelation when John said, let the filthy be filthy still.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, if you're here tonight lost, better listen to what Brother Hall's saying. God's Spirit will not always strive with man. There's coming a time when God will.
Amen.
Cut her off, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I worry about people that can't never get it settled.
Amen.
I'm telling you why they can't. There's something there they don't want to turn loose of. They want to hang on to. You go on and hang on to it. And if you think I'm joking, you read Proverbs chapter number 1. The Lord said, I will laugh at you in the day of your calamity.
Amen.
Amen. People don't believe it. I'm telling you, God will cut off a sinner. Come on, I've done got to preaching now, meddling. God will cut off a sinner. You might neglect it and you might reject it so long, but there'll come a time when God will say, that's enough. I've had people to tell me, Brother Hall, I believe God's turned me over to a reprobate mind. How can I know if God's done that? If you still got a desire to come to church, if you still got a desire for God, God's not turned you over to no reprobate mind.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, don't play with God, because God don't play. This thing of salvation is serious, buddy. Now I'm telling you, there's hope for the filthy, but there'll come a time when God can cut off a man and that man's heart will be numb toward the Lord. God will sear his conscience with a rod of iron. Huh? And that'll be, son, he'll be cut off from God.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. You believe a lie if you want to believe.
Right.
Now I'm telling you, God cut people off. I heard a little old boy at Bible Baptist Church one night. I'd preached a 5-week meeting there. And that little old boy walked the aisle about every night and got on the altar almost every night. And he come almost the last night of that meeting, and he got on the altar and laid there, and Brother Nolan let people go. And it was about 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night, and that boy was still there. Brother Nolan walked up to him and he was weeping out loud and crying out loud. And Brother Nolan simply said, you've got to turn loose of it. He looked up to Brother Nolan and said, it's too late. I can't. As far as I know, that boy's never darkened in the church house since. And he wasn't an old man either, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God there's hope for the filthy.
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm not filthy. Your righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God, friend.
Amen.
Come on in the house. We're preaching now. We finally got our foot in the right hole.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. God's been leading me this way for the last several weeks. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because there's some people in here lost. Amen. I need to get in.
Amen.
I sat in my chair over this afternoon, read a little of the paper, dozed off, woke back up and started going over my notes a little bit. Now I'm telling you, the thought came to me, preacher, God, and here's what came to my mind. The Lord said, I'm giving you some of the liberty you had before 96.
Amen.
And he said, I'm trying to prepare for another move. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if it ever breaks loose in here, I'm telling you, some of you, if it ever breaks loose, some of you is going to have to break out. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not talking about breaking out shouting. I'm talking about breaking out of that pew and getting on the altar and getting saved.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, we're not going to have any shouting to amount to much till folks get right with God. Whether you're saved or lost, you'll never have all of God and the power of God until folks are right with God, the right relationship.
Amen.
You realize it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You realize it is a fearful thing to trod under your feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God due to spite to the Spirit of grace. That's what sinners do. Every time God deals with their heart, and they don't get in. They trod under their feet the hallowed blood of Jesus and do despite, that is, they despise the Holy Ghost. And God deals with them again. Now, if that's not grace and love, I don't know what it is. But there may come a time when God said, it's enough. Somebody said, how do you know that? I don't know when, but God does. God does. And I'm telling you, when that day comes, friend, you've sealed your soul to hell, you're going to hell. That's it.
Amen.
I'll guarantee God will never deal with you again. There's not only hope for the filthy. There's hope for the feeble. Isaiah 35:3-4, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance even God with a recompense. He will come and save you, hallelujah, to His wonderful name. Somebody said, preacher, I ain't got much strength left. Don't think I can go much farther. You're in good shape. Somebody said, you mean I'm in good shape when I can't go any farther? Absolutely. When you, boy, it's God quiet, son. Amen. You're in good hands with Allstate. When you can't go in it, when you come to a place where you don't think you can go any further, that gives God an opportunity to magnify His grace in your life. And God will lift up the feeble knees that hang down. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. Thank God, I'm telling you, that somebody said, Brother Hall, I feel like I can't go another mile. Praise God, there's hope for you. I'm going to say thirdly, and I'm hurrying, there's hope for the family. Now I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture. I believe it's about to Jacob. In Genesis 28:14, God said, and by thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Did you get that word all? I don't normally do this, but if you're in a family in here tonight, stand up! You've got a family. Looks to me like there's hope for everybody in the building. In thee shall all, A-double-L, all the families. You don't have to, Angie, if you don't know, if you can't. All the families of the earth.
Amen.
Don't say might be blessed, they shall be blessed.
Right.
Woo! Thank God for Israel.
Yeah.
Thank God that God grafted in old Gentile dogs like you and I,
yeah,
that through the seed of Christ, all families of the earth,
yeah,
shall be blessed. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brother Joe, you remember that song they used to sing at Sturgis? I'm blessed. Just come up here tonight. Can you sing? Come and help him, Doug.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Every day
that I live,
I am blessed.
When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. I have shoes on my feet. I have plenty to eat and the home in heaven by and by. Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine by my new birth. And some beyond the sky, I am blessed. I am blessed every day. Till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed, I am blessed. One more time to say shame on the devil. I have shoes on my feet, I have plenty to eat, and a home in
heaven.
Brothers and sisters on this earth, they are mine by my new birth. In that home beyond the sky, I am blessed. I am blessed every day that I live. wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. Are you a family tonight? Stay up here. Are you a family tonight? You're blessed. You've got a promise that all, A-L-L-O, families of the earth will be blessed. Somebody said, well, I don't see them. Open up your eyes.
Through the sunshine and rain,
through the
sun. Sorrow and pain, Jesus is my comfort and guide. And His love comforts me, and His grace has set me free. And
someday I shall stand by His side. I am blessed. I am up in the morning till I lay my head to rest. I am blessed. I am blessed. Now we're going to play yo-yo for a minute. Set back down. Now I want to say one more thing. Everybody in here that knows that you have been as faithful as what you can be, stand up. Well, bless God, it's time you got right.
Amen.
There ain't no more than that can stand up.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you something. I've never seen this in the Word of God before. But in the book of Revelation, and chapter 2 and verse 10, the Lord told that church at Smyrna, He said, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. This amazed me when I found this, because all the other churches, all six of them, it says to him that overcometh. But the church at Smyrna was a poor church and a persecuted church. Woo! You know anything about that? But he said, I'll be faithful unto death. Praise God, be faithful unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. That sound like blessing the faithful to you?
Amen.
Hey, anybody, if you can't behave, if you can't run with the footman, what are you going to do with the horseman?
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Surely there's more people in here faithful than my wife.
Amen.
You mean to tell me you've not done everything you know to do? Boy, you told on yourself tonight. You have given me ammunition. Now there's hope for the future.
Amen.
And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hey, there's no need to doubt Him now.
Amen.
We got hope, ladies and gentlemen, for tomorrow.
Amen.
If we got hope for tomorrow, we got hope for the day after tomorrow. If there's hope for day after tomorrow, there's hope for next week and next month and next year. Because He said hope to the end.
Amen.
For the grace that shall be revealed unto you at the revelation. Or shall be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's hope for the future. Somebody said, preacher, things couldn't get any worse. Yeah, they can. And I'm going to tell you something else, they ain't getting better. And they've been getting better. I've been enjoying preaching more in the last few months than I've enjoyed in a long time. I don't feel under pressure. I don't feel like I have to perform. Just be me. Now listen, the third pearl, and I'm done. Listen what he says in the text that I read tonight. And if you call on the Father, who with respect to persons judgest according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
Amen.
Now, I want to say that fear, godly fear, is a reverential awe of God, the Holy One, and the consequent knowledge of self and self ways. The awe of God, reverential awe, His majestic glory. And because of who He is and because of fear, we are to fear His correction. If we do, we'll live right.
Amen.
You know what will make your kids live right? Fearing the rod.
Amen.
Amen. Now there's practical fear. Verse number 47. He said, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's just practical fear. There's a plain reason I see for that. If you call on Him as Father who judgeth, God will judge.
Amen.
Not loveth or pitieth, but judgeth. He's not a sentimental God or emotional God or a weak God. He's a God that will judge. God's judgment is important or impartial. Verse 17, it's without respect to person. I'm going to tell you something. God will line me up when I'm wrong just like He will you.
Amen.
I don't have a hold on God that you don't have.
Amen.
I've got to do what I can do to stay right with God too. And there have been times that I've done wrong and immediately I knew I'd gotten myself in a position. I had a hard time getting out of them. God said, oh boy, don't let this happen no more.
Amen.
Now listen carefully and I'm done. I see a powerful incentive for fearing God. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. In the vain conversation of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. String of pearls, grace, hope, and fear. And I'll tell you, they'll adorn your life. They will adorn your life. Let's stand together.